Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, who is incredibly excited about talking about this game this morning. Jeff, I was telling Coleman earlier, it just felt like I was swallowing cough syrup during that entire game. It was just icky, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think both those teams set back offensive football by about 10 years during that experience. But yeah, it's unfortunately it's we're used to it by now. You know, losing doesn't feel unique to this team anymore. It doesn't feel like a surprise to this team anymore. It feels expected, and I think that's the problem, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It you were on the sideline. It just felt like there wasn't any exigency. I mean, I know they're all professionals. I know they're trying hard. I never not believe that, but it just didn't feel like energy was there. It's hard to describe.
Well, you know, it's tough because you can look at that game and you can, in through a positive lens, and say, hey, I thought the defense played really well in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, that was the group that had struggled each of the last 2 weeks. They hadn't been able to stop the run game. They did. Pete Warner came back, and he looked like the missing piece, right? Like he was sniffing out screens behind the line. He was getting tackles for loss. The Saints, the defense pinned him back. They ended up getting a safety, right? They forced punts on, I want to say, three of the first four possessions. Two of them were three and outs. There was obviously that one Justin Herbert run, but otherwise, he held them to a field goal on that drive. Yeah, you were up 2-0 at the end of the first quarter. I think it was 3-2 for a majority of the second quarter.
Right.
And the problem is the offense. Like, you could say, hey, the last 2 weeks it was a kind of equal opportunity problems. This game was all about the offense or the lack of it. And, I'm about halfway through kind of going through the game now. I'm not quite to the second half yet. That's a whole other can of worms, but the frustrating thing is you watch it and there were explosive plays in there, right? The first play of the game was a 23-yard run by Alvin. You had a long screen pass to Alvin. You had a couple nice runs by Kendre Miller that got called back by penalties. And that's where you're like, hey, your margins are so, so thin that you cannot have these mistakes wiping out key plays in Chargers territory, right? Like, this is a game that you might have been able to win kicking field goals. But you got to get in field goal range to kick field goals. And too much of the time they had those mistakes. As I go back and watch it, I'm not as negative about Spencer Rattler's performance as I felt watching it live. My biggest gripe with him, though, is there was too many inaccurate balls. And, again, you're talking about you have razor-thin margins. You have to take advantage of the situations in front of you. And there were just too many moments of the close interception that was actually – not an interception because the ball touched the ground. I mean, that's just too high, right? Like, you got to hit Taysom Hill in stride. He's a tight end. He's not Chris Olave. You can't ask him to go up over his head to catch a pass. And, that's a mistake on the quarterback, right? Yep. There was a screen pass a couple plays later where it was too high and Alvin couldn't call it in. I think Alvin's having some difficulties catching the ball with his injured hand a little bit. There's been a couple plays the last few weeks where you see that kind of show up. But, it just felt like, the details weren't there. And that's something that, coaches and players have talked about. They're talking about, hey, we got to fix this. Well, you're six games into a losing streak, and it's still not fixed. So, something's got to give.
Yeah, full transparency for me. I was doing my Uber duties and getting family members down to the Taylor Swift concert. So I missed the first quarter and half of the second quarter. And so it wasn't until the back half of the second quarter that I came in, and then the second half was just not good.
No, and you just kind of saw a lot of the same stuff, right? Like you had some nice gains in the run game, but too much of the time you were getting stuffed. You know, they had a third or second and two or second and one early in the game, and they ran the ball twice. I think they might have lost a yard, right? And they ended up punting from near midfield. And it's just frustrating. You can't win games that way. You got to be able to take advantage of second and short. Like, that's got to be a first down. They're not crowding the line of scrimmage, right? This isn't a goal line defense. You got to be able to run for 2 yards there, and you can't do it. Kendre Miller is incredibly frustrating because you see it when he's out there. He's got juice. Like, he's making guys miss. even, you know, his stat line isn't even representative of what he actually did in that game, because he had multiple 10-plus yard runs that were called back by penalties that did not impact the play. On one, he just made three guys miss in a line, and he went for 15 yep. yards. And I think it was Lucas Patrick who got called for a hold on that play. Lucas had a pair of holds in the first half, and you know, like he, and then second half, even had a kick return out to the 40-something yard line. You know, like he's every time he touches the ball, it seems like something good happens. But then another hamstring injury, and it was actually to the opposite leg that he injured in training camp. And you know, you hope that it's not as significant as the one he injured in training camp. I would say that's a good thing to hear, that he didn't just re-aggravate that injury, because that was obviously a very significant hamstring injury, considering it took him about 8 weeks to get back from. So hopefully it's not something that keeps him out extended time, but you know, that's just been the story of his career. Like when he's out there, he has juice, he makes good plays, but he can't stay on the field. And you know, I think it's incredibly frustrating, because this is a team that needs every playmaker that it can get.
So next week we get Carr back. Is that what's happening?
I think that's the goal. You know, we'll have to see how this week of practice goes. You know, I think 3 to 4 weeks was kind of the idea. At this point, we're obviously 3 weeks in. You know, you could say, hey, they can't afford another loss. I don't know. I think you're kind of at the point now where you may have lost too many games, right? Like, I don't know if you can turn a 2-6 season around. It's only happened a handful of times in the last 20, 30 years that a team started 2-6 and got into the postseason. It did happen like 2 years ago with Jacksonville, so it's not like it can't happen. But yeah, I think your goal would be to get Derek back this week. And if you can't, you're going to have to decide, hey, do we go with Spencer? Do we go with Jake Haener? I thought Jake, you know, could have probably made that switch a little earlier in that game. If it was me, I would have done it at halftime. I think that drive before halftime maybe convinced them to stick with him a little longer, because he did have that nice 2-minute drive for a field goal late in the first half. And I don't know, because I kind of thought like, hey, going in, if you can't get any offense in the first half, you just have to consider a change here. And clearly, they felt the same way. They just kind of played it out a little bit longer. I asked Jake after the game if they were considering a change. They were talking about a change. He said no. The first time he heard about it was when Andrew Janoka, the quarterback's coach, came up to him with about, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the third quarter and said, hey, man, you're in the game. But I thought he went in there and he did some good things, just like he did against the Broncos. He led the touchdown drive. You know, it wasn't perfect. You didn't get in the end zone, so there wasn't any of that. But you know, it felt like you could sustain offense with him in there. He got to get the ball out of his hand a little quicker. So I would say if you don't have Derek Carr, I think you probably go with Jake. Yep. But either way, you know, one of my takeaways from this 3-week stretch, and I know there's a lot of people out there that think Derek Carr was holding this offense back. And I've been a little softer on Derek Carr than some others, just because, you know, I think that what you've seen over the last year plus is that Derek has been covering up for a lot of issues on the offense. And a lot of those things have been kind of laid bare now that you don't have a veteran quarterback who can make up for some of those issues. And you're kind of just seeing what the sum of the parts on offense are without that veteran in there. And it's not a pretty picture. So I think if nothing else, I think over the last 3 weeks, you've gained an appreciation for that. Derek Carr does raise your offensive baseline quite a bit from what it could be. So, you know, if they can get him back out there and they look like a team capable of winning, that'll be great. But, you know, 6 games in the hole now, it's tough to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Jeff, talk to me about sacks. I think the Saints were sacked 6 times or five or six times, if my memory serves me correct, and a lot of hurries. I mean, they just always seem to have somebody with a hand in their face back there.
Yeah, it's tough in this game, because usually I'll look at the quarterback stats and say, okay, how many times was he sacked? But, you know, in this game, there's obviously two quarterbacks. I think that the Chargers had 5 sacks. They had, let's see, I'm counting in real time here, 7 quarterback hits. The bigger number to me, you had 6 tackles for loss in that game. That's a crazy number. You cannot be getting tackled mm-hmm. behind the line of scrimmage that many times. The Saints, on their half, they had a bunch of plays behind the line of scrimmage, too. They had 2 sacks, 7 QB hits, 6 tackles for loss. So, I mean, again, the defense played well. The offense couldn't get anything done. But, you know, I think a good number of those sacks came late in the game for Jake Haener. He didn't get hit too much early on after he came in. It was that long, I want to say it was like an 11-play drive that actually ended the game. They had an untimed down on the final play of the game, which, man, can you just let this thing end? But yeah. the pass protection has been a problem, and – again, you know, I think that's a, you know, a veteran quarterback can maybe make up for some of those things. He can help with the protection. He can identify things a little quicker than a young quarterback might. And you're seeing that kind of play out. But yeah, Spencer Rattler over the course of 2.5 games, two games in a little under 3 quarters, has been sacked 11 times. That's crazy, right? That can't happen. And so if part of it's on the quarterback, part of it's on the offensive line. And I wish I could sit here and say, we just haven't invested in it. It would actually be less frustrating if the Saints hadn't made the investment in the offensive line. I've had people saying, hey, the Saints just need to keep drafting offensive linemen until they get it right. And I agree with that. But when you look at the group they had out there, you're talking about 3 first-round picks. You're talking about Trevor Penning, a first-round pick. Cesar Ruiz, a first-round pick. Talia Sifuaga, a first-round pick. Right?
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, when Eric McCoy gets back, you would have a second-round pick, which was your first pick of that draft that you traded up for. So it's not like they haven't invested in the draft. They just, you know, haven't had the success that you need out of those high draft picks. That's a problem. And it's just kind of and the depth on that unit, the depth across the board, I think, has become an issue. You know, like you can say, hey, you know, getting Pete Werner back is a big deal. But, OK, you should be able to survive one linebacker missing a game. And that can't be your excuse for not being able to stop the run. I do think he makes a difference. But again, you have to have depth. And I just don't see this team having the quality depth that teams need to win consistently in the NFL. And that's how you end up losing 6 games in a row, because injuries happen. You got to be able to, you know, you're not going to win all of your games and the quarterback goes out, but you can't get dominated every game like they have been. So this team has a lot of questions to answer.
So we go to Carolina this week. The Chargers defense, they had a good defense. I don't think that they're going to have that same situation when they head to Carolina, right?
No, I mean, the Panthers are probably the worst team in the NFL. The Saints have played 2 top 10 defenses over the last 2 weeks. Probably the two defenses that you don't want to face when you don't have your starting quarterback in there. If you have to turn to a rookie quarterback at any time, you know, these two defenses were definitely not the ones you wanted to face. They get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They give you a lot of looks that are trying to confuse you, change things up at the last second. And, yeah, I think you kind of saw that come to fruition. You know, whether Derek's out there or not, you should expect to beat the Panthers. And I think Bobby on the post game yesterday kind of put it as like, yeah, if the sky isn't falling quite yet. If you lose to the Panthers, the sky is on the ground. Like, you can't, there's no getting past that. That's the worst team in the NFL, in my opinion. And in the opinion of the records, they have 1 win in 7 games, 8 games. So, no, I mean, and that's the problem. Like, you can go out there and get a win. That's not going to mean a whole lot. That's, it's like the free space in bingo. Like, you either get that or something, you know, you run out of ink, you know?
Right.
Like, that's the problem. And so, you know, if you go out there and win, and then maybe you can come back and reset and win a few games in a row, and who knows what happens. But, yeah, you got to go out there and get a win. I mean, there's no getting around it. So we'll see how they handle that situation.
And it's not an easy schedule. You still got Green Bay out there. You have Washington that's playing miraculous football.
That was crazy.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, Atlanta, they're playing well. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, and you got the fighting Jameis Winstons out there in Cleveland. They got a win yesterday. Yeah. They beat the Ravens, who would be my pick for the Super Bowl. So that's going to be an interesting game when they come to the Superdome, for sure. That felt like a win a couple weeks ago. Now there's going to be a lot of energy on that Browns sideline for that game. And another excellent defense. You should have some wins on this schedule, but this is not a 6-1 stretch, right? And that's what you would need it to be to have any kind of realistic hope for the playoffs at this point. All you can do is go out there and, you know, how do you eat a whale one bite at a time? You know, you can't worry about the games 3-4 weeks down the road. You just got to win the game in front of you, and maybe you can win a game, gain some confidence, guys start playing better, and you get the starting quarterback back in the fold, and things look better. But you're kind of just seeing the same picture of a team year after year that makes the same mistakes and fails in the same moments. And it's frustrating because, you know, the whole idea behind this was continuity and avoiding that and avoiding kind of those building block things that you already feel like you've established. You extended Alvin Kamara, you kind of signaled that, hey, we're not necessarily tearing this thing down to the studs the way that a lot of people might be yelling for them to do. But, you know, you got to do something has to break in your way to justify kind of the status quo as it is. And, you know, those two wins at the start of the season just seem further and further and further away every time we talk about it. I feel like these segments that I do with you every week have just gotten sadder and sadder and sadder every week.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you look back, Carolina's the worst team, in, as you pointed out, in the NFL, and then Dallas isn't setting the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, the two wins that we had were against mediocre teams, as it turns out.
Yeah, Dallas is definitely, I think, disappointed in their season, no question. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not like you didn't exactly beat juggernauts either. Right. So, yeah, it's not a pretty picture, however you try to spin it.
Exactly. All right, we got through that, Jeff.
Yeah, we did it. Another one down.
And I appreciate you coming on because I know you had a late night, you know, and we always appreciate hearing from you and your perspective. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
For sure, Neil. Good talk. See you next week.
All right, man. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Really enjoy my conversations with him. I love his analysis of the game as well. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.